All set?
Okay. I'd like to open the meeting of the August 2nd LAFCO hearing. Our chair is temporarily absent. She should be arriving shortly. But with that, I'd like to, the first order of business is if there's anyone in the audience that would like to address LAFCO on items that are not on the agenda. So anyone that would like to speak to the commission on items that are not on the agenda. Okay, seeing no one, I'll move to the consent calendar. Staff?
We're prepared to answer any questions that anyone might have on consent calendar items.
Are there any commission questions on any of the items on the consent calendar?
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the file number 17-02, Southwest Santa Rosa Reorganization number 1701, involving the annexation to the City of Santa Rosa and the detachment from Rincon Valley Fire Protection District, Roseland Fire Protection District, County Service Area number 40, and County Service Area number 41. Environmental determination, environmental impact report. Staff, if we could have a presentation.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to do that. I believe this is probably the most anticipated proposal that Sonoma LAFCO has ever encountered, so I'm honored to provide a staff report to you, which I thought I'd do in three parts. The first is some background regarding the application and some showing you some maps so that you're aware of what we're talking about. The second section, staff has identified a series of five issues that we'd like your guidance on, your adjudication. That's the Roseland Fire Protection District, South Park Sanitation District, some easements and right-of-way language that has been proposed, some regional housing allocation numbers, and we'll also cover in that second section the environmental. And then lastly, the third section of the presentation is to guide you on your actions and the next steps for adjudicating this proposal. So what I thought I'd do just to start is to note the applicant is the City of Santa Rosa, and we placed a map of the city up before you for reference. A little difficult to see, but there are some blue patches within the city. These are unincorporated islands. They number just under 50. I believe there's 49 in the latest accounting that we've done of unincorporated islands. These are the unfortunate after effects of growth that was, that happened in the latter half of the last century before LAFCO. And so this growth didn't really conform to the goals that LAFCO has, which is orderly boundaries for agencies and the efficient provision of municipal services. So to some extent, the fact that there are 50 islands still within the City of Santa Rosa is a case study for why LAFCO exists. The specific area that we're talking about today is in the southwest quadrant of the city. The application covers five unincorporated territories. The area in the middle in blue is the largest, and it is the largest island within the city. It is the Roseland community, comprises of over 600 acres of unincorporated territory. Surrounding the Roseland community are four other smaller areas that are included in this proposal. One over to the bottom left is the West Hearn Avenue Island, as we call it. The one on the upper left, did I say upper left last time? I meant lower left is West Hearn. Upper left is Britton Lane. The upper right or above the Roseland area, we're calling the West Third Island. And the one at the very bottom in sort of taupe is the Victoria Drive territory. So in total, these areas are something on the order of 740 acres. And about 7,200 residents. And so the application before you today from the city is to annex these territories. Just as a term of art, I'm certainly happy that the public and everybody refers to this proposal as an annexation. It is a reorganization because we're doing a series of detachments from other districts and agencies in order to make this happen. In order to propose this annexation, staff always looks to the city to indicate that they can appropriately and capably serve the municipal needs of the territory. And I would say in this case, I've never been more confident that a city has done the planning and the budgeting and a lot of work in conjunction with the county in order to determine what the needs are to serve these five areas. So we've referred specifically to a specific plan that the city developed for this area and its associated environmental impact report, and then which you have received and reviewed. And then also attached with our staff report is a pre-annexation agreement that the city and county entered into, really outlining how the transfer of services is going to happen, and also indicates some financial support that the county is going to provide to the city on an ongoing basis. So again, staff has every confidence that the city is capable and able to serve this area, has done a tremendous amount of planning in order to determine that. And I think the city can very accurately say that they met their goals in this process, which is they wanted to provide the same level of services to these five areas in the territory that they provide elsewhere in the city, and they did not want to detract from their ability to serve existing city residents. And I think with a lot of confidence they would agree that those goals have been reached. I could take a break here and answer any questions, or I could move into the five areas that particularly I'd like you to do some consideration of.
Are there any questions of staff so far? Why don't you proceed?
Okay. I was hoping for the breather. So the first issue that we'd like to talk to you about is the Roseland Fire Protection District, which I think escaped a lot of people's radar, because since the early 1980s, the Roseland Fire Protection District has contracted with the city of Santa Rosa to provide services. So when you go to the Roseland Fire Protection District station on Burbank Avenue, you'll find a lot of uniformed firefighters and EMTs who have Santa Rosa labels on the sides of their uniforms. So it's a three-member board for this district, and I've had meetings with their board. They're wonderful people who are very interested in seeing that the fire and emergency service needs in the annexation territory continue in the same vein that they have under city support. However, these areas in purple that I've shown on this map are also part of the Roseland Fire Protection District. There's three. There's one over on the far right, actually on the this side of 101. There's the Yuba Drive area at the southern part there, and then a large territory west of, South Wright Road. So the problem is, if we annex the Roseland Fire, if we detach the territories in the annexation area from the Roseland Fire Protection District, there are very few areas remaining. And in fact, the three current board members would have to resign their seats, as they do not live in those remainder areas. So we would have an immediate challenge of how to reconstitute Roseland Fire if we detached the annexation areas from the Roseland Fire Protection District. I think perhaps more importantly, in conversations with Rincon Valley Fire and Chief Gosner, who's here from the city of Santa Rosa, the two areas, the largest areas, the remainder areas, are really best served by the city from the Burbank Street Station. Rincon Valley can, of course, serve these areas if we assigned these remainder territories to their district. Their station is way down on Todd Road. They're not the first responders. So really, operationally, it makes a lot of sense for the city to continue serving this territory. So the proposal that we put before you, or the solution to this issue, which we've gotten great support from the city, from Rincon Valley Fire, and from the board of the Roseland Fire Protection District, is to, for now, make the Roseland Fire Protection District a subsidiary district of the city. So the city would continue to operationally serve all of these areas. The board of the district goes away. It would now be governed by the city council. And it just sort of cohesively addresses the situation and continues service in the way that it has been provided since 1982, I believe. The alternative would be to go ahead and detach the areas from Roseland Fire Protection District, take those three remaining areas and name a successor agency, which would be Rincon Valley Fire. Rincon Valley Fire indicated to me that their immediate approach to that would be to contract with the City of Santa Rosa to cover those three areas. So we're accomplishing either way you would like to go. I think we're addressing the fire service and emergency service needs for the entire community, not just the annexation area.
Let me stop you there and see if there's any questions from the commission. Everybody's okay. So
I do have a question.
Okay, good.
I appreciate the dilemma very much in this and the complexity and the great relationships that this area, Roseland Fire, has had with the city as well as Rinka Valley. So what are the downsides of that?
There aren't. I can only point to one potential upside, and I'm almost, I did put it in the staff report, I believe, but as we look at fire services reorganization countywide, I think there will be opportunities for some cities to provide service outside of their city boundaries in order to accomplish what we're looking for countywide. This is an example of how to do that. A city, any city in the county that wants to serve outside of its area could form a subsidiary district, a dependent district, and do this. There are rules. They have to have, they can serve no more than 30% of the area outside of their city. So this is one way, a limited way of doing that. What is happening in Southern California is a lot of cities are turning their entire fire departments into fire protection districts. Very similar to what you see in Windsor. Windsor does not have a fire department. It's served by the Windsor Fire Protection District, which serves a significantly larger territory than the town of Windsor. So that's another a way to accomplish the same thing. So I think there's a slight advantage in the city having a subsidiary district. They could take on additional territory. I think Chief Piccinini and Chief Gosner could talk about the areas north of these that maybe the city can get to quicker than Rincon Valley Fire can, and so maybe they roll them up under the Roseland Fire Protection District. I'm not saying the city has any plans with regard to doing those things. I'm really focusing in on this situation and what the best solutions are. And really, I think either solution works. I again will point to Chief Gosner, Chief Piccinini, and the board. They are all intently focused not on turf, but on how do we best serve these areas. And operationally, these areas are served by the city, so let's figure out a way to make that continue.
And I appreciate that. That was going to be my conclusion as well. But what happens to the board? Who has oversight? Which body has oversight for the board? Or does the city have oversight if this protection district is a subsidiary of the city?
Yeah, the council actually runs. It's similar to you sitting as a supervisor running the county water agency.
Okay.
So the board of Roseland Fire Protection District goes away. It becomes the council of the city of Santa Rosa.
That was my question. Thank you.
And just for clarification, in terms of the proposal that we are recommending, Roseland Fire Protection District is not, or this territory is not detached at this time from Roseland Fire Protection District. But the recommendation is that within a year, should the commission approve the annexation, within a year of that period, that the city or the district would submit an application to LAFCO for a reorganization that would include dissolution of Roseland Fire Protection District and the establishment of the subsidiary district. So the subsidiary district would not be formed as a result of your work today.
Well, thank you very much, because you just answered both of our questions, which was, we read that in the staff report,
right,
and we just wanted to make sure that that was still the
so it's a condition of approval.
Part of the condition,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
And I have every indication from the board of the Roseland Fire Protection District that this is acceptable, so, yeah.
And the timeline is reasonable?
I think so, yes.
Any comments? Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So now we'll move on to one that's a little more tricky, which is the South Park County Sanitation District, formed in the early 1990s, if I'm recalling my dates correctly, an agreement between the county and the city to address rampant failing septic systems in the southern part of Santa Rosa that had not yet been annexed. And so both the blue areas and the tan areas in this map are served by the South Park County Sanitation District. Interestingly, I believe we're on the sixth version of that agreement between the city and the county, and each and every agreement predicts the end and dissolution of the South Park County Sanitation District within the five-year term of the agreement. So we have not accomplished that, and I'm here to tell you I don't think we're going to accomplish that today either. The blue areas, obviously, are the areas that are covered by the annexation proposal. The tan areas, you know, predominantly on either side of 101 and Santa Rosa Avenue to the south, and some remainder parcels over to the right. I can't use the same strategy that I recommended for the Roseland Fire Protection District in this case. Nominally speaking, we could make this a subsidiary district of the city. However, it serves more than 30% of its territory outside of the city boundary, so it cannot be a subsidiary district. Both the city and the county, and when I say the county in this case, Sonoma County Water Agency, who operates the district, nominally speaking, pointed out some serious difficulties in transitioning any customers of the South Park County Sanitation District to the city. And primarily that's with regard to rates and whether they're comparable between what the city's utilities department charges for sanitation services and what South Park County Sanitation charges. I enumerated all of those in the staff report. Just in summary, South Park rates are a little bit lower than the city's, generally speaking. They're charged on an annual basis and collected through property tax assessments. So those bills go to property owners. The city, by contrast, does a monthly billing of sanitation fees, and they charge that to whoever's got the water account. So now many renters would, for the first time, be seeing sanitation bills that they were not seeing before. And then lastly, the city does what we call volumetric rates. They determine through looking at your water use in the winter how much you are using the sanitation system and vary their rates based on that usage. South Park Sanitation has essentially flat rates. You know, residents cost this and businesses cost this, and they don't vary those rates. So early on in the process of the city and county talking, I really talked to the city's utilities department, and the water agency, Mike Thompson there, has been very, very supportive, and challenged them to come up with a plan to normalize the rates so that the rates in the city are the same as the rates in South Park. And they have put together an agreement that over a five-year term would accomplish that. In addition, at the end of that five-year term, the governance of South Park Sanitation would move from where it is currently, which is the Board of Supervisors. It would move to two city council members and one supervisor member to oversee this district. Anticipating your question of what's the advantage of the approach that I'm proposing here, if we detach these areas from South Park Sanitation and put them into the city could establish these areas as a separate zone, and they could regularize the rates over time. They could do exactly what South Park is proposing that they would do. But we'd really have two agencies trying to do the same thing, normalize their rates in tandem, and get to the same end result. I think the other advantage, which I shouldn't have started that sentence because I'm not sure I have one. I do. At the end of the five-year period, when the rates are normalized, when the governance moves, I think any further annexations that involve South Park Sanitation District areas would become just moot. There would be no objection from anybody being brought into South Park because the rates would be the same that they would be charged the next day by the city of Santa Rosa. So we are, again, entering into another five-year agreement for South Park that has a sunset of the South Park Sanitation District 5 years out. But I'm rather more confident that this moves us in a large way towards where we can eventually end the South Park Sanitation District and get these properties appropriately served by the best agency to do that, which is the Santa Rosa Department of Public Utilities. Shall I pause for questions on that one?
I think that's a great idea. Yes?
Well, I bring a long history to a lot of these discussions, of course, serving on the BPU and the council. One of the issues is not only normalizing the rates, but bringing the system and the infrastructure up to an acceptable structure, so acceptable level. So would this governance body of the two council members and the supervisor also be working? And I know that the city and the agency have been working together on that as part of the plan to bring that into the city system. Would the governance committee not only look at normalizing rates in the five-year plan, but to monitor the progress of bringing the infrastructure up to a reasonable level?
They would certainly have that responsibility, but I think more importantly, as I understand it, that punch list of improvements has largely been completed by
Good.
The water agency.
Excellent.
So I think we're in a place where that, at the end of the five-year period, certainly would no longer be an issue.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's start down at that end.
Okay. I just had a question, Mark, on the you said the payment of the sewer fees might get transferred to renters. But that would only be the case if they're actually paying the water bill.
Correct.
Right?
I think this is largely if single-family rentals. That's where this pain point would happen. My understanding: most multifamily rentals, the property owner has the water bill and therefore would continue to get the sewer bill.
Okay. So if there's a Prop 218 notice for a rate increase, then who gets to vote? The person paying the water bill, or the property owner, or
Wow, that's a good question. Jeff, do you know? I believe it's voters within the district, so, but I'm not positive.
I'm not positive either, Commissioner.
We'd property owner? We're hearing property owner from.
Yes. Thank you for your support.
Okay. Well, that does it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on South Park?
Yes.
I actually just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's worked on this. And actually, I see Council Member Coombs in the audience. We talked about this back in January. So this is an issue that we've been following very closely. And I think that the impacts can't be understated, since this is one of the last bastions of affordable housing in the county, quite frankly, that, you know, the potential to shift the impact from the landlord to the tenant is a really big one. And so just one thing to mention, because I know a lot of us in this room will be engaged in the community engagement going forward, is that I think it's going to be really important to have a robust education and outreach campaign and to really let folks know what's coming so that they can plan, and to start also reaching out potentially to, you know, apartment association and, you know, NORBAR and those sorts of groups to see what can be done potentially to mitigate some of these impacts, or how can we kind of make sure that we're educating folks and limiting the impacts to the greatest extent possible.
And if I could add to that, one of the concerns that we heard primarily from the smaller islands, not within Roseland, after this annexation, will there be a requirement that we hook up? And there is not. I think there's great value in being able to hook up. If your septic system fails, the city can serve you. I think that's a great thing. But there's no requirement that anyone accept water or sewer service as part of this annexation.
Mm-hmm. Only question, I think the proposal is to be allotted. And but when I take a look at the conditions, you haven't captured the five-year time frame, and I wonder if that should be inserted.
Yeah, I think what we wanted to push was that they needed to have an agreement executed, and from the staff of both the city and the county, they believe that agreement will be executed prior to our recording this
okay.
annexation. So it's a five-year agreement. You have a copy of the draft in your packet. I expect that, I think the condition that I'm recommending to you is that get executed prior to the annexation.
So you would have
recorded.
Full review of that
yeah.
agreement. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Next.
Okay, the next three items I hope to do a little more quickly. there's just some brief language that both the city and the county asked to have in the resolution regarding easements and rights of way, and I don't think there's anything at all controversial in that. And then, as much as we wanted to deliver a package that was properly tied and the bow all taken care of, There's some, not controversy, but some continuing negotiation between the county and city over regional housing allocation numbers. I wrote pretty extensively in the staff report to let you know what that's all about. The upshot is the city and county are continuing to work on those negotiations. Hopefully we'll come to mutual conclusion on that, acceptable conclusion. If they don't, the Association of Bay Area Governments will step in and adjudicate. So really it's a description of something that's been left undone, but it's not something that I think LAFCO needs to really concern themselves with or condition the application in any way.
However, the city and the county did request that a statement be put in the resolution, and so we have included that for your consideration, and that was a statement that came from both both entities.
The last thing I have is in this second part of the presentation, and the last part is even shorter, is with regard to CEQA compliance. We gave you quite a bit of language in there. I'm really going to defer to Carol, who did the yeoman's work on the CEQA analysis. Again, the city produced a specific plan for this area, including an environmental impact report, and we are relying on that for our CEQA determinations. Carol, do you want to just briefly mention it, or do you just want to accept questions?
I'm happy to talk for just a minute about the environmental impact report was done for the Roseland area Sebastopol Road specific plan and the Roseland area annexation projects. So the specific plan area covers two of the islands, the Roseland Island as well as Victoria Drive. The other three islands are also included within the purview of the environmental impact report, but are not in the specific plan itself. The analysis that was done under the EIR does include the determination about the impacts of all of those areas, and I think that we have provided information for you in the section about CEQA. As a responsible agency, the commission needs to make its own findings, and we have done that or proposed for you to do that in the draft resolution. The city found that that all of the impacts could be mitigated either on their own, less than significant, or with mitigation, with the exception of two major areas. One is air quality and the other is transportation and traffic. And so the city elucidated in the EIR the reasons for making a statement of overriding considerations, and that is also indicated for you in the staff report. LAFCO also has to do that that type of thing, and that the language is in the resolution for your consideration. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Also, members of the folks from the city, both elected representatives as well as staff, are here and can answer any questions you might have regarding the environmental impact report.
Any more questions before we open public comment? Go ahead.
Well, it's probably a question directed more at the city representatives, but I guess this would be appropriate place.
When they come up, they can answer.
Okay, I'll wait then.
No, you can answer.
Oh,
ask
okay.
Now. Prepare them. Give them a little time to think.
Yeah. Well, there's quite a bit of money being transferred from the county to the city for infrastructure, and there's a lot of impacts associated with traffic and need for road improvements. And I may have overlooked that there's quite a bit of information, but I'm just wondering if there's some plan for prioritizing the road improvements and how that money gets spent. So think about it.
Okay, thank you. Another question? Yes.
We're going to move to public comment?
Yes.
Next, yeah. And just in advance of public comment, I just wanted to say a few thank yous because I'm hoping that some of these folks will be coming up to speak during public comment. I want to acknowledge my predecessor, Efren Carrillo, sitting over there, and I hope you have a few things to say. Without Efren, I don't think that this ever would have happened, but his passion for the Roseland area is unprecedented in a 5th District supervisor. And it was really his determination, I think, that really drove this through to completion, and his his desire to work with the city. I also want to acknowledge Rebecca Walksberg in the back, who I think is one of the unsung heroes, as well as Chairwoman Zane, who is not here with us, and to thank former Mayor Tom Schwedholm for his help, and current Mayor Corsi, and I see Councilmember Coombs here as well, and just all of the staff of the city and county who worked really, really hard on this project. I mean, this has been, I don't know, tens of thousands of hours, so I just wanted to say a few thank yous before we open it up to public comment, and then also just say thank you to Mark and Carol for the amazing staff report that you created and all of the legwork that you did. The reason that I haven't had substantive questions is because you did such a great job and kept us in the loop every step of the way. So it was fantastic distilling down a huge, you know, EIR and all of these, you know, 5 million attachments into a very readable document. So just thank you all for so much of the work. And yeah, it's just wonderful to see this kind of collaboration between the city and county. So I had to get a little bit, you know, emotional and thank everybody before we go over. So
thanks are always welcomed. Okay, both. Let's start with Pam.
Go ahead. I was thinking the exact same thing. Reading this document, it's amazing how what a great job you did to make it so readable for us and understandable. Because we do understand how long this has taken and how much work's gone into it. But I agree, the county and the city should be very proud of themselves for the agreements that they've come up with. And you guys have done a great job making this, for us, a very almost simple process, which you wouldn't expect it to be.
Commissioner Gore.
I'm glad that Commissioner Hopkins did recognize the efforts of former Supervisor Efren Carrillo. You did pour your heart and your passion into this, working with the city ad hoc to drive this through along with Supervisor Zane. Since I actually took myself out of consideration for that because my roots run deep in Santa Rosa and I figured it was in capable hands, but I'm going to ask the elephant in the room question. And why this? There are some islands in the Southwest that are really important for annexation and consideration for movement into the city, but there's a large swath of land south of this. And I was just touring the new MRF facility on Standish Avenue and the neighborhoods down there. Was there ever a discussion with the city, with LAFCO, about the future of that area and why that was not included in the conversations moving forward?
I don't know why it wasn't included, but I can report in conversations I had right before this meeting, there's intense interest from developers and people who are in islands and other adjacent territories within the city sphere, within the city's UGB, for annexation into the city, and the city appears to be planning to undertake a specific plan effort for that area, and so you might see one unified proposal for that area coming to LAFCO in another year or so. So,
and I appreciate that, and it's appropriate, I believe, to look at annexations further south, for potential annexations further south. I couldn't help to note the large swath of industrial commercial land along there, excluding Otto Row, that's already part of the city, that could have helped the financial solutions for the city and the county conversations. But I was not part of why we didn't include that as a larger area. And I know that there's another 425 or 50 acres south of Yolanda that also may be in the city's sphere of influence, also CTS habitat. So it's not going to be easy, but there are some large parcels of land and that might help the city grow even larger than they would want to grow, certainly at this time. But I just wanted to let the commission know that there's some work ahead of us still. Thanks. And I will say my comments and thank yous. There's a lot of thank yous that need to be said.
Okay, so if staff doesn't have anything else to say.
We do. We just want to ask you for what you'd like to do next. We'd like you to conduct a public hearing. At the close of that public hearing, we'd like you to adjudicate this proposal. Staff has made some recommendations specifically with regard to Roseland Fire Protection District and South Park Sanitation. We have prepared a draft ordinance for you that reflects our recommendations as staff. The only other thing that we'd like you to adjudicate and decide upon is the length of the protest proceeding. We've described that protest proceeding in the staff report, and you have an option to either set that at 30 days or a 58-day period. You might consider gauging that based on what you hear in public comment. I will say we have had two letters in support of this proposal and one in opposition, but that's the only public comment that we've received prior to this proceeding. And I do believe, if you don't mind, I know you have speaker cards, I believe Mayor Corsi from the City of Santa Rosa would like to address you first.
Okay, well, I'm happy to open up public comment and open up the public hearing. And Mayor Corsi, I would like you to lead us off. If anyone else wants to speak who hasn't submitted a speaker card, please do so, and I'll call you.
Thank you very much, Chair Barrett and members of the commission. I'm really excited to be here today. For myself, this dates back a very long time. Kevin McCallum from the Press Democrat the other day was reminding me I was writing stories about water problems in Roseland in the early 1980s. As we all know, this goes back a long time. So it's an exciting day to be here to express the city of Santa Rosa's full support for the annexation of Roseland and the smaller islands that comprise this application that's before you. It's been a long time in coming, and we should be celebrating being here today. This is the right thing for all of us to do. The county and the city have recognized this for a long time, but like many complicated arrangements, it's taken some work to get here. There have been some previous attempts that have failed, but this time I think we've got it right. In December of 2016, after more than 2 years of work and negotiation from the joint city-county subcommittee that's been mentioned, and I just want to call out all the members of that subcommittee that included Supervisors Zane and Carrillo and Mayor John Sawyer and council members Julie Combs and Ernesto Olivares. They did a lot of hard work to, and also I don't want to forget staff here. The county staff, our staff, and your staff have worked really hard on this. They came up with the pre-annexation agreement, and that was supported unanimously by both the Board of Supervisors and the City Council. It's been noted that this annexation doesn't come without cost. Cost to both the county and the city, and those costs will be paid over a long period of time. But this is a bill that we owe to the people of Roseland, and it's a bill that's long past due. I'm happy to be close to getting the check in the mail. Again, I appreciate the work your staff has done putting together a staff report that goes through all of the T's that we crossed and the I's that we dotted to get through this process. I do want to highlight though, how our city staff has worked long and diligently with the community to make sure that we get this petition and application to you today. Our intent through this process has been to recognize Roseland as a rich, vibrant, historic, and valuable part of our community, both before annexation and after annexation. To that end, we have considered community engagement and outreach to be the most important part of the process. And we set out at the beginning of this to address every issue that affects the residents and businesses of the area. Bear with me for a minute so I can describe some of this outreach. It's included numerous local events where the city provided information about the annexation and about the process. It's included neighborhood meetings, community workshops, development of a steering committee of local residents and business owners, distribution of project flyers and notices that were mailed to all property owners, and tenants in the area. Media alerts, newspaper articles, radio interviews, social media posts, and the development of our project website. Just prior to the submittal of this application, the city held 6 community conversations, we called them, throughout the annexation areas to offer opportunities for residents and property owners and business owners to meet one-on-one with city staff from every department to ask questions about the annexation. All of this has brought us here today. Again, I want to thank you for your attention to this important matter and thank your staff for the thorough staff report and the recommendation for approval. I do want to address Commissioner Gorin's question about the other islands. As you can tell, this annexation of these islands has been a large bite, and it's taken us a while to chew on it. We plan to take further bites. My personal desire is to see the Moreland Avenue area annexed soon, and there are many more, as was noted by staff. Just to sum up, I couldn't be more proud to submit this application for the city with the goal of formally welcoming to our city all of the residents of Roseland and the rest of the annexation areas that are included in this application. I hope you'll share in our excitement at this historic moment, and I ask for your support. I'm happy to answer any questions. We have a few staff members from the city here today who can help with any technical questions. Again, thank you very much.
Mayor Corsi, there was a question from the commissioner about planning for prioritizing road development. Any comment on that?
I'm going to defer to staff on that one to provide you with an answer.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Thanks again.
Thank you. The next speaker card I have is Thomas Schneider.
Good afternoon. I have lived in the Roseland area for 28 years. I do not want to be a resident of the city of Santa Rosa. I'm very happy to remain a resident of the unincorporated area of Sonoma County. For me, there is no upside to being annexed into the city. I'm very happy with the county fees, requirements, and county services that I presently receive. Annexation would raise my local taxes and costs, such as annual stormwater management assessments, city 5% utility tax, and mandatory garbage and recycling services. Annexation would limit my ability to have a number of livestock that the county now allows me to have. Most importantly, I do not want to see an increase in densities that would be allowed by annexation, as that would increase the amount of traffic on our roads to near failing grades. As the EIR states, with the project added, the traffic problem will degrade even further, changing many traffic grades to one worse grade, and that is unacceptable to those of us who live there. I am not confident that the city would fund necessary roadway improvements to handle the increased traffic due to the higher densities allowed by the city's general plan. Please do not allow this annexation to proceed. If you choose to allow this, please allow the maximum 58-day protest period and to create a petition form for registered voters and landowners to circulate. Please include this information in a notice mailed to all registered voters and landowners. Thank you all.
Thank you. Joy Bruce.
I'm a resident of, my husband and I are residents of Victoria Drive. I have 4 letters here from some of the residents of Victoria Drive that are not in favor of the annexation. We've had quite a few neighborhood meetings on the subject, and which got us to meet a few of our neighbors that we didn't know before, so that was great. I agree with Tom, worried about the cost of all this to the residents. My husband and I worked really hard the last 28 years to buy our house, pay off our house, and retire. I'd like to continue to enjoy that while we live in our house on Victoria Drive. We also happen to have a developmentally disabled home on our street, and we also have two homes with Russian Orthodox nuns on our street. And I'm a little concerned about what it'll do to those people and if we're annexed into this city. We have all the necessary city utilities. We're hooked up to water. We have sewer. I'd just like to tell you that we're Victoria Drive is not in favor of the annexation. And may I hand you these letters? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Jonathan Coe here? I'm not sure if this letter is just the submittal or if he's actually here. Okay. Okay, should I read it? Okay. On to Dwayne DeWitt.
Thank you, I'm here.
Okay, well, come on down.
Hello, my name is Dwayne DeWitt. I'm a proud graduate of Roseland School, class of 66. I've been around that place so long that people think I might always be there, but who knows? The main thing is, I am concerned that we get more information about the housing situation between the city and the county. The document that is talked about here, it doesn't give us any specifics in a sense out there that the public can read. It's very important because it states that the county's housing element currently indicates sufficient affordable housing sites available to meet the county's housing needs in the RHNA. And yet there's a housing crisis throughout the county, and housing's not being provided. So if there's sufficient sites, it would be really nice to see where they are. The dilemma in Roseland for the last probably 25 years has been that much of the affordable housing that is funded by taxpayers goes to organizations who essentially bring it over into Roseland, and it's not scattered site throughout the city of Santa Rosa. And that's what's really needed so that you don't get a low income kind of, well, some people use different names for that type of area. I love Roseland, so I'm not going to use that name. The main thing that also comes up is some people have said that they don't want to be annexed and they want to have an ability to go ahead and protest. I protested an annexation which created the Roseland County Island back in the mid-90s. And I did not believe a county island was the good thing to do, but it was allowed to happen. So I know it's a difficult thing for you to want to say, well, we're going to let those folks have a chance. I was essentially told when I brought my petitions down to the city of Santa Rosa, hey, tough luck, you didn't do them the right way, and adios. It's not our way, it's the highway. So it might seem counterintuitive to have me here saying that these people should at least have a chance to fairly make their effort go forward. I am not against this annexation. I want to say publicly that I support it, and I will not do anything to undercut it right now, because when you have the divided government that we have between city and county out there, that's how Roseland has gotten as bad as it has throughout my life, especially the last 20 years. The place is really in need of one set government so we can go forward. So I would ask you to at least consider the suggestions of the opponents and at the same time realize that us supporters need a better Roseland. I'm in the county's unincorporated, underserved, disadvantaged area down in South Roseland near Hearn. I lived on Victoria when I was younger, so I've been all around those neighborhoods, and I understand their concern, but it's time to move forward. And thank you for giving me as much time as the mayor of Santa Rosa had. That is rare as chicken's teeth. Thank you.
Okay, I see I started a bad precedent. Efren Carrillo.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, it's good to see you here this afternoon. In fact, it took an obscure local agency, government entity to bring me back to these chambers. But it's good to see your work in process here. I'm here as a private citizen. I'm not here in any official capacity. Really want to say thank you to the commission for shepherding this process. I know that the city and the county have been dialoguing and communicating on the issue of Roseland annexation for decades. And here we are. Finally, this item, this issue is up for debate and discussion before the commission, and will be up for, again, debate and discussion before the public. I really appreciate the City of Santa Rosa's presence here this afternoon because I think it demonstrates the commitment that the city is bringing forward in truly embracing this part we know as Roseland into the greater fabric of the City of Santa Rosa. And while this effort has been decades in the making, both the city and the county and LAFCO made this a significant priority. It's part of its strategic initiatives. This commission has been dealing with annexations that come through for years and for decades, and has been pressing upon the county and the city to move forward in a more thoughtful way. So, the city council and the county in 2014 both made annexation a high priority. And the fact that you have this item here now 3 years later, I think, demonstrates the strength of their demeanor in bringing this item forward. Multiple meetings have been held in the community, and I do believe that multiple meetings will continue to be held in this area to continue to educate and inform the public about what annexation is and why it's important for this to be considered. I appreciate the mayor acknowledging the city staff. I had the opportunity to work with Chuck Regalia when he was the planning director and then became the assistant city manager. Jessica Jones really stepped up to the plate and just carried the ball forward, planner of the City of Santa Rosa. I think, Jessica, you're here. I really want to thank you for your work. And there were multiple folks within the city. City Manager Sean McGlynn, who I know is also in the chambers here, really provided the leadership along with the city council, Councilwoman Combs, Councilman Olivares, and then Mayor John Sawyer. The County of Sonoma staff, as was already named, with former County Administrator Ferguson, Deputy County Administrator Rebecca Waksberg, and the fine people at the Auditor, Controller, Treasurer, Tax Collector's Office. It came down to the money between the city and the county, and they were very thoughtful in their process, along with the Finance Department with the City of Santa Rosa, to bring something forward that we could all agree upon and work. Executive Officer Branfitt, to you and your staff, I think that if we don't have the continual pressure, persistence, and professionalism in providing factual information, we're not here today. So I want to congratulate you. I want to congratulate Carol and Cindy and former Executive Officer Rich Bottarini, who also played a significant role in getting us here. I had the opportunity to serve with quite a few of the commissioners here, and I was so tempted to start my comments by saying I was here to talk about the Palm Drive District Hospital. But hopefully there's no West County folks in here right now.
Laughs are on this side.
Okay, fair enough. But it really has taken a significant persistence, support from elected officials, both at the city and the county, and officials with the Local Agency Formation Commission. Obviously, the work remains for both entities, for the city and the county. I think all of the representatives here at the dais are representatives of local government entities, and the complexities and the challenges you face day in, day out are big. They're difficult, but they're really what unites us in trying to make better policies moving forward. So I know that there's a clear path forward. There's momentum to move the annexation process forward. Commissioner Gorin, your comment around the larger spectrum of Southwest Santa Rosa, The initial conversation did include a discussion that looked at Highway 12, Highway 101 down to Todd Road over to Stony Point Road. And I think in the initial conversation with the city of Santa Rosa, it was just too much to take at the time. So we focused on what you have before you today with Roseland proper. And eventually, hopefully, if this phase was successful, we would then move on to the remainder of that southwest area that is within the sphere of influence of the city of Santa Rosa. And I think what you heard from the mayor today is that there's interest in continuing that discussion and then that dialogue. Assuming we get through Roseland successfully, we can then take on the bite of the next apple. So, you know, I do want to congratulate early, knowing that there's still a process to unfold here. I really appreciate the Roseland residents that are here, whether you're for or against annexation. Your voice is important through this process, and why that's why this entity exists. Again, the city of Santa Rosa and LAFCO for the addition or the hopeful addition of what the mayor described as being a vibrant, diverse community to the city. So, Madam Commissioner, Madam Chair, Commissioners, really appreciate the opportunity of time. Again, I'm here as a private resident, former colleague of yours on LAFCO, but do want to thank the commission for your steadfast engagement in being stewards and shepherding this process forward in what we described as Roseland annexation.
Thank you. John Braggins? That's
me. Thank you very much for your time. I'm going to guess right now that most of you people sitting up there don't live near Roseland. Just saying. And then the other thing I want to say is this seems like a backdoor way of getting past the rent control, which was voted down by the voters in June. It's curious how it shows up now. I'm wondering what the ramifications are when this is property is annexed, what the vote might be like after that on rent control. I'm a property owner, been here 10 years. I picked this property because it's on the upswing. Whole neighborhoods picking up. All these other things are going to come on. I'd like to know what exactly Santa Rosa is going to have to pay. I'd love to see that in the Press Democrat, see what it's going to cost, find out how much these guys were paid for their study and how much they stand to gain if this is implemented. I'm sure that they're going to be helping you, how much more they're going to gain. I'd love to hear that. I'd love to see it in print in the Press Democrat. That's about all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Christine Geyer. This is the last card I have, so if anybody else wants to speak, now's your time to fill out a card. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Christina Meyer. I had what I consider an honor to work on the steering committee with Jessica Jones of the planning staff and Steve Cancun and Lisa, and I want to say that they did a fabulous job. They did the best outreach program I've ever seen. What I like the best of what they did is after each of the four workshops that they had, they took all the information that all of the residents came to them and gave, took it all back, reworked it, and brought it into the plan for annexation. So what you see is all the cumulative work that they have done with the four workshops and all the meetings they had with the community. And I think one of the reasons you don't see a lot of opposition and a lot of notice going around is because they did such a fabulous job. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no one else come forward, I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. So, oh, wait a minute. Is there anyone from Santa Rosa who'd like to respond to the question about the plan for prioritizing road development? I see there is.
Yes, thank you. I'm Jessica Jones, supervising planner with the City of Santa Rosa. So the city has a capital improvement program that prioritizes infrastructure projects throughout the city. So as this area comes into the City of Santa Rosa, projects within it would be prioritized with the other projects throughout the city.
And I'm Jason Nutt, Director of Transportation and Public Works. I want to add into that just a little bit. Per the agreement, we'll actually be meeting with county staff in order to identify specifically what improvements will be made as a function of the transfer of funds that come from the county to the city over the next 10 years. And so we'll be specifically outlining the program that we're going to be implementing in the Roseland community. It will all be for the benefit of roadway improvements. And we look forward to seeing that those conditions improve significantly over the course of the next 10 years.
Thank you very much, both of you. Okay, so among the commissioners, we have before us now a reorganization, and you can see the recommendation from staff. Is there anyone who wants to discuss any part of the recommendations, the conditions of approval? Anything is of question? Yes?
I just want an opportunity to respond to a couple of the concerns that were raised, and I think there is sort of an outstanding question about the length of the protest period that perhaps
would be the last
the board,
thing if we decide to go forward.
Yeah, the board maybe should weigh in on. But just in terms of, there were a couple of things that that people brought up. One was sort of, you know, the livestock, and this was something that I remember attending these meetings with the city, and that I believe was attempted to be addressed by the city of Santa Rosa through the creation of a rural heritage zone, which would permit livestock to be continued to be kept. And as a farmer, that really resonates with me, and I absolutely understand those concerns. So I just wanted to bring up a couple of the things that I know that we have worked through and had conversations about. Also, I think one of the gentlemen, you know, mentioned that none of us live in Roseland, which is true, but I think that's where the sort of tremendous efforts of Supervisor Carrillo, who does live in Roseland, come in. And I think that he really brought that that proximity and that knowledge and that heart to the job. One last thing that was mentioned, I think, were the additional costs. And I think those are also something that we're all very much aware of. And that's why we're having this kind of complicated process of transitioning over with the South Park District and making sure that we've got time to sort of, you know, allow people to come into compliance with those costs. So just a few things that I wanted to respond to that I thought were from public comment, the concerns that were raised. I also want to apologize. When Mayor Corsi stepped forward, I realized that I think I said Schwedhelm when I meant Sawyer, and that was the result of 8 hours of sleep in the last 48 hours and not drinking coffee. So I apologize for that.
Okay. Yes?
I appreciate Commissioner Hopkins' follow-up on that, and you are right on all of those, on many of those areas, especially regarding livestock, and I know that that's something that the city and the county have been working on, but I do have a question. Maybe the city can answer this or our executive officer. Always in a public conversation, I recognize from years of attempting to outreach, there is a question in this regarding how expensive will it be for the residents? What are the additional costs? Sanitation is one thing, water is another, and that's dependent on what kind of housing you have. But will the city be requiring the residents to pay something into specific districts? Will the city be requiring the residents pay for mandatory trash pickup? I'd love to have that in my district, because boy, do we have issues, as our executive officer understands. So has that been communicated? And maybe that is something the commission can get some information on.
Yeah, just having participated in most, if not all, of the community outreach activities, the city from the very beginning prepared a frequently asked questions document and answered all of those questions and continually added to that as they went through the process. The specifics, I know about half of the answers to your questions, so maybe I will ask Jessa to come back up and with support from others.
I'm trying to understand what the additional monetary burden will be.
So, as mentioned, we did prepare a frequently asked questions sheet. Those were questions that we received all the time throughout this process. There are some additional fees that would be applied if this area is brought into the city. They're pretty nominal in comparison to what they could be, but the one that I know off the top of my head is the garbage fee is something that is mandatory in the city. There are some additional utility user tax fees. I don't know the specifics of those. We do have people from our other city departments that could help to answer those specific questions if you're looking for numbers. But there are some small fees that would be added upon annexation.
Thank you. I think that's outside of our purview, but I wanted to actually know what the burden will be for those folks and the areas of potential protest.
Yes, and the frequently asked questions sheet that we'd created that does have all that specific information is on the city's website at srcity.org/Roseland, and it is provided in both English and in Spanish.
Okay, thank you.
Well, at this point, I think there's three actions for us to take. The third one being dependent on moving the first two resolutions. One is a resolution to approve the reorganization with conditions as outlined in staff. And the second part of that motion is to make a resolution relative to the acceptance as a responsible agency for the California Environmental Quality Act, the EIR that was prepared as part of the specific plan. I'd like to move both resolutions at this time.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded? Okay. All in favor?
Do
we have discussion?
Yeah, I think it is appropriate to have some discussion, and I would like to offer some comments, and I probably should have done that. Do you want me to offer comments after the vote or before?
I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. Supervisor Hopkins did articulate great thank yous to a lot of the folks that I know, many of you. I've worked with many of you as a school board member and a BPU member, planning commissioner, council member, mayor, and now supervisor. And this has been a long labor and divisive, potentially divisive, issue for so many people, and I've worked with many of you in your neighborhoods. As mayor, I met with, or planning commissioner, I met with the Victoria Drive folks over the specific plan of Dutton Meadows. And as a member of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisor Committee, I actually helped to plan a lot of the bicycle network in the southeast or southwest and work on park acquisition. So reading through the documents, it gave me really warm and fuzzy feelings that I was a part of history, that this is such an important moment now. And it's due to so many people, whether they have had an opposition to the annexation and now turned around, as Dwayne DeWitt talked about, community members having some concerns about costs or animals. I think the recognition and the overriding concern is that this has been a conundrum for decades of the division between the city and the county. And they have worked hard. I've been part of that, of bridging the divide between the city and the county, and done the best job they could into streamlining planning moving forward. But we knew, all of us knew, the business community, the residents, the government, and so many community members knew that this day had to come, that annexation was the only solution in moving forward. And I would be supportive of a larger effort on the annexation. And I appreciate Supervisor Carrillo's comments on why that was not to be at this time, but it may be coming forward in the future. So kudos to all of you who've been involved over the past decades in planning for this day. And it is credit to LAFCO, the city and the county, to work through some of the financials. I do find it interesting that I've been such a supporter of annexation and recognizing the substandard infrastructure in Southwest Santa Rosa. And now I'm representing an area that has equally substandard infrastructure and some of the very same water contamination and deplorable roads. And I just, Supervisor Carrillo kept saying, could you just stop? Because I kept saying, the springs. So that time will come. We will get some funding for those roads in the springs. But this is a time for Santa Rosa and for Roseland to recognize how we need to continue to work together, celebrate this moment, and work together for the future of Roseland. And I think there may be a great political future and district representation for that area on the council and on boards and commissions, because I've talked with many people who were so frustrated they could not serve on any of the boards or commissions because they lived in unincorporated areas. So it wasn't just services, it was wanting to give back and be a part of the empowerment and finding the voice for the community. So I'm sorry for that long-winded sort of comment as an explanation, but I will be enthusiastically supporting this. Thank you.
So we have a motion from Vice Chair Kopolchek, and we have a second from Commissioner Stafford. And our attorney has pointed out that on page 8 of the first resolution, we have a typo. So with the typo corrected from 65594.07, we're going to change that to 65584.07. And if with that correction, is that okay to the maker? And the,
sure.
Okay, so with that, we'll take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Oh, any opposition? No, so that unanimously passes. Let's go into a discussion right now about the length of the protest proceeding. And then we can have any other comments people would like to make. So the time that is the full time is 58 days, and that would be. Does staff want to weigh in on this at all?
So I just want to point out that first of all, we're taking a very conservative approach that we don't typically do. We often overlap the period for filing a reconsideration application with the protest proceeding. This time what we're saying is let's wait the 30 days to see if a reconsideration application comes in, okay. Then start the protest proceeding. We've had one instance recently of a reconsideration application with the Palm Drive. So by law, you have a 21 to 60 day window for a protest proceeding. We were just using the dates of your regular meetings. Mm-hmm. So we've put two choices in front of you, 30 days or 58 days. I would judge it based on, I think if someone had come up and said, I'm really organizing a protest effort and I'd like the maximum amount of time, that might influence your decision. This is the extent of the protest. You've seen as much protest as we have to date. We only received one other letter indicating opposition to the plan. So that's my guidance to you. We're looking for, do you want to do the 30-day or the 58-day protest proceeding? Just as another item, we always prepare petitions for people to use available on our website. However, people do not have to use those as long as they provide us the information that we need. In a letter format, that's fine. They don't have to use our petition, but we will make that available. I'll also point out that with regard to noticing of the protest proceeding, by state law, we're really only required, based on the number of residents in this area, to use the newspaper process of notifying residents. So we had no plan, unless directed by you, to mail individual protest petitions to voters, registered voters and landowners in this area. And I think that's all I have to say about
and,
that.
And if we were to go for the 30-day staff is prepared to
absolutely
meet that time. That's not
so. We're going to on position. September 4th, I believe it is. We will have the protest petitions posted. We will notice the public hearing for the 5th. We will notice the public hearing on whichever meeting that you decide now, and we're ready to go with that process.
Okay. And this information will also be on the website for protest form. Just as information, state law is very specific as to what constitutes a valid protest. So if someone wants to use the protest form that we will provide, then it has all the information, they could fill it in. But if somebody just wants to present a letter and say, I protest, that's not gonna work. Or somebody comes to the office or gives us a call, that's not gonna work. So they're just to let people know. The other thing is that a protest, there's a protest period. If someone wants to protest right now, it does not count. It's only during that protest period of whatever the number of days that you determine.
Okay, so just for clarification, our next meeting is the 6th of September. That's a Wednesday.
Yes.
So that they would stop on the 5th?
No. The reconsideration period would be beginning tomorrow for 30 days, so that would end on, I think it's September 1st. We would have a large notification of public hearing in the newspaper, in the Press Democrat, as of the 5th of September. And that starts the protest period.
Okay.
So it would go till the 4th of October, which is when you could have the protest proceeding. Or if you wanted to make it longer, it would be the commission's hearing in November, meeting in November. I'm sorry, it was either November 2nd, 1st or 2nd, something like that.
Thank you for that clarification. So, commissioners, any preference? Yes.
I think given that staff is recommending that we not overlap the reconsideration period with the protest period, I think as long as its information is clear that there's two separate actions that need to be taken, the first 30 days reconsideration, next 30 days protest hearing, I would like to support the recommendation to do 30 days for reconsideration, then 30 days for a protest hearing. Also, staff mentioned that this information is on the website, and I'm wondering if the city's website, because I think people would probably be more likely to go to the city's website instead of something called LEFCO, if there's a link in the city's website that would then direct them to LEFCO, and then this information would be very simple and very clear in terms of what people's actions need to be.
That's a very good point. Is there any way staff could work with the city of Santa Rosa to...
We can certainly offer that. As you say, it's just a link to our website if they wish to do that. Can't stop them. So it's unusual. We haven't done that in the past, but I see no reason not to.
So is that a motion?
We're simply seeking guidance at this point. Do you want the 30 or the 58
Okay, so
days?
We don't need to make a motion.
I don't think so, no.
So guidance, yes?
I agree.
Okay. I'm okay. We're all
I just wanted to say thank you to the folks who came, and there was a request that I would like to acknowledge from the audience for a longer time, but I do think that having the sort of two separate periods as opposed to overlapping them addresses some of that concerns, allowing them to reach out a month essentially to reach out to their neighbors and sort of gather signatures and things like that. I also just wanted to mention that in terms of the feedback that I've received from constituents, I've actually also gotten at least a couple of emails from folks saying, why aren't we included in the annexation? And so just wanted to echo Commissioner Gorin's point, which is that I'm hoping that this is the first step in a long and, you know, robust conversation and relationship with the city to look at other islands and other underserved areas. So while I completely understand that there will be some pushback to this action, know that there's also actually pushback in the opposite direction of I have people saying, hey, we were left out and we would like to be included. So I think that, you know, we don't have kind of an overwhelming opposition, and I'm comfortable with the 30 days and then 30 days.
Okay, so we have. Okay, so I think we've given direction. So thank you. Before we leave this topic, is there anyone who wants to make a comment? Yes, and then Ernie.
I guess I would like to comment that I solely support this annexation and that it is a day of celebration. I've been on the LAFCO board either as a member or an alternate member long enough to be a member in which the first very robust effort to annex Roseland failed. And it failed, as former Supervisor Carrillo said, it all came down to the money. It was a huge, huge discrepancy between what the city envisioned as the cost and what the county envisioned as the cost. And it's my understanding that in one sense, when this first started, that cost equation was actually heading in the same direction. And it was only with just really remarkable work on behalf of the county people, as well as from the city political representatives, as well as staff members, that we're here today. And I think, again, as been mentioned by other commissioners, we see this kind of absence of protest, if you will, from the remarkable work that has been done, particularly the outreach work that has been done by the city. And I'd like to thank everyone and it is a day for celebration. Thank you.
Ernie?
I'd just like to reiterate what everybody said as far as the staff report. Being new on LAFCO, it is nice to have a staff report that it was clear and concise as yours was. And also to acknowledge the outreach that the city has done and then their website. And for us and that don't live in the area, as well as those that do live in the area, to see what the city is proposing, what the county has agreed to. I think they've been very open with that. But I also believe that LAFCO was developed to solve issues just like this, and I think it's our responsibility to do that. As painful as it may be for some of the residents, that's what our task is to do, is to fix these things.
Any other comments? Yes?
Yeah, I also want to thank Mark and Carol and the city and staff that worked on this. It's just really hard to pick this up and try to assimilate all the information. It really helped. And I did use the city's frequently asked questions site. It was pretty good. I just wanted to say, you know, I worked for the county for several decades, and last part of being at PRMD, the Permitted Resource Management Department, and I could see, you know, the confusion of people when they're in an island and they're trying to figure out, you know, where do I get a building permit? You know, where do I go to complain about zoning? And it's really a disservice to have that occurring. So getting this fixed is really, it's good for the overall citizenry. And it also provides an equity that doesn't exist now in terms of the development standards and the zoning requirements, and even the application of the building codes are different. And so it puts everybody on a level playing field. And it's long overdue. It's just a great thing that's happening. So that's my comments.
So I'll just echo everybody else by saying thank you for such a good staff report again. This is a good trend, and we're happy about it.
Were we bad at one point?
No. What does that mean?
I do not think I said that. I think I'm just saying again. That doesn't mean just once again. I think you're on a roll. And this is very good, because these are complicated issues, just like the Palm Drive issue that we will not talk about. But I really do think that the LAFCO Commission, in its iterations for the last number of years, have really shown leadership in saying that we want this issue solved. And I think that LAFCO does have to take some pride in the fact that it is pushing forward the agenda of rationalizing development. And this is a big, huge part. And Supervisor Carrillo, I'm sure that you were doing this on the board, but you certainly were doing it on LAFCO. And that was great, and I'm really happy that staff and the commissioners have worked together doing this. And I think this will be a good thing going forward. And I just think our board members, our commissioners who are board members, are greedy. I mean, it took so long for us to get to here, and now you guys want to just take it all over. So, and I hope we're able to do that, but I'm grateful for where we have gotten to. So thank you. So thank you in the public for coming as well. So now we are on to our regular calendar, which is nothing.
Did we take a formal vote on
that? We did not have to take a formal vote. We gave direction.
Okay.
Thank you. And now information, executive officer's report.
Do you want to take a break?
Do we want to take a break? I think a break would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to.
Like 2 minutes? Okay.